Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. Well over a million listeners. Thank you for sharing us with your friends and family. We appreciate it. We hope you give us some great information that make a difference in your life. But today, I'm going to be talking about an exit plan because of all the crazy stuff that's been going on in the world today. But first of all, folks, the holiday season, it's just about here, and everybody's starting to see it in their sights. Today, we're talking about that imperfect, perfect Christmas. We have Hannah Bartlett. She's the Christmas insider. She's a founder of the Jilly Festive. She's here to discuss that imperfect, perfect Christmas. One of the big things that y'all wanted to hear about is that, you know what, you got to spend. You also have guest expectations. So how do you deal with all that? Practical travel advice for traveling over the holidays and more. So it's going to be a great show. I want to tell you a little bit about Hannah. Now, here's the funny thing. You know, we already know she's the Christmas insider. She's the founder of Jolly Festivals. But see, she's a former accountant. And you can see by the smile on her face, that just doesn't fit. But she's a festive specialist. She now spends the year researching emerging trends and evolving traditions while creating practical tutorial tips, ideas for homespun, perfectly imperfect celebrations. She's coming all the way to us from the UK. She's right there next to the Windsor Castle, so that's kind of cool. She's been a trusted source for Christmas insight through audiences worldwide. You can see her on BBS, US News and World Report, Family Handyman, and Women's Health. So Hannah, welcome to the show. We're just glad you're here.
Oh, thanks so much, Steve. What an introduction. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're welcome. But I got to ask, you're an accountant. What got you to do this? Because most of my accountants don't even have smile as much as you have in the last, you know, minute and a half.
I might be answering your question that I'm anticipating just with my smile. Yeah, I really have done a 180, haven't I? Mm-hmm. You know what? I've taken a winding path to get to the world of Christmas. But it turns out that all the pieces of that came together. I didn't even realize it at the time. Jolly Festive, which was my Christmas blog originally, is a passion project that grew legs. And I started it off literally as somewhere for me to share my passion and my enthusiasm for the holidays. And it evolved and turned into something far bigger than I could have anticipated. I got picked up by a show here in the UK called Kirsty's Handmade Christmas and asked to come on and participate there. And then the BBC found me and so on and so forth. And in the background, I discovered a true passion, not just for learning about people's traditions and the way they wanted to celebrate Christmas, but also how Christmas was evolving. Because we think of it as the constant part of the year, the kind of the holidays are always there, right? They're always the bit that sort of frames the calendar. They're there, they're steady, they're reliable, but actually they're evolving to meet us where we are and what we want out of them. And I found that so fascinating, the kind of emotions that are driving how we want to celebrate this year. So you can see I kind of still have that accountancy geekiness in me. I just geek out on the different subject now. So,
well, you know, and it's just that enthusiasm for what you do is the key. And quite frankly, most accountants don't have the same enthusiasm. And by the way, I have one in the family, so it's all good. So let's start talking about the imperfect, perfect Christmas. Because I think everybody wants to have the perfect holiday season, but it's rarely perfect.
Absolutely. And I think the thing really to start with is that difference between a perfect Christmas and a Christmas that's perfectly yours. Because they're not the same thing. You can have your perception of a perfect Christmas, which would be someone else's idea of, no, thank you, absolutely leave that alone. So, and because of social media, which has been a joy, we've all got closer to each other, we've connected, but there's that constant highlight reel of expectation.
Oh,
And
yeah.
you can turn Christmas into a performance, right? It's all about the kind of the look of Christmas, not the feel of Christmas. And I think we're ready now. We're ready to kind of revert back to actually what's important. What is it we're actually trying to achieve? What is it we want from the holidays? And it can be messy, it can be scrappy. It just needs to be right for us. Imperfectly perfect. I'm really passionate about it.
Oh, and now that I think that's really cool. So a lot of people email in and say, hey, what about this? They're dealing with expectations of people of how does my house look? What's the inside look? And I can see your room. You've got the trees up. Is there a gingerbread man? I see a reindeer. I see the clock, the pillow, and all that kind of stuff. So let's start just kind of with the decoration stuff. What would be the easiest way for somebody to get into that Christmas spirit, so to speak?
Yeah, no, well, first of all, thank you for noticing. This is my gingerbread house studio. So for some time, I've been running for a few years now, and for many years, it was a Christmas tree in the front hall year round, which provided a lot of hilarity when the postman came to call. But I finally branched out, so I have my own studio now. But I think really the crux, in my opinion, of Christmas is keeping a twofold, keeping a focus on what it is that's important to you. As I say, what are the things that make Christmas Christmas for you? And then communication and talking to people and setting expectation. And I think 9 times out of 10, it's a daunting conversation at times. Yep, absolutely agree. But it's that discussion now or debt later or dread later. You've got to decide which is more important. So if we keep that communication flowing and we set the expectation, then I think a lot of people's concerns around not having the perfect Christmas, not having a Christmas that lives up to expectation, can be avoided. So I really do think that those things we're so I'm guilty as charged, Steve. It's so easy to lose sight of them. But okay, so decorations, you said. So there is nothing wrong with last year's decorations. That's the first thing I'm gonna say. And actually this year, because as I say, I geek out on trends and things and how Christmas is evolving. The trend this year is nostalgia. We are all looking back to our childhood. And those rose-tinted simple Christmases that we recall so fondly now, whether they were at the time. So actually, it's the perfect year for going thrifting and going into the attic and finding all the old decorations, because they're the ones that everyone actually wants on their tree this year, which is fantastic.
That's so funny. You just gave me a flashback when my parents used to have this Christmas tree that had the, I want to say, aluminum looking tinsel, would have this circular light that had different colors on it, and it would shine on the tree and you could see all the different lights. And like, I haven't seen anything like that in, I'm like, decades. I'm telling you how old I am, but I mean, it's really interesting. I just thought, I had a flashback. That would be really cool from a nostalgia standpoint.
Right, absolutely. And we're seeing those colourful lights, and tinsel, despite its questionable eco credentials, is coming back onto the tree. But I think, we can go and find what we've got. We can repurpose it. You can respray decorations if you want them to look different this year. That's easy done. Just cherry pick the ones that you want to use, and then maybe buy a bulk pack of one color just to top up and refresh it. My biggest tip on decor is ribbon, because ribbon is relatively inexpensive and it can completely change a design and an aesthetic just by changing up your ribbon. So pick the color that you fancy, go and get something gorgeous, drape it around the tree, make it into bows, which are very on trend this year. There's going to be bows everywhere. And just by doing that, you can leave all those beautiful heirloom decorations, the memory decorations, the ornaments that matter. And this will just give it a different flavor. So that's a really easy, affordable way to update your decor.
Oh wow! You know what? I was just thinking as soon as you said ribbons, I was saying, oh, bows. I mean, because they do change the whole dynamic of a tree, even a lamp, and many other things. So that's very, 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 very cool. I never thought of that. So what other things could, besides a bow, what other things can people add to their Christmas decorations to add to just make it look different, even though they might be utilizing the same decorations from the previous year?
So, do you ever have that, Steve, where you've been looking at your decor at home, general decor, not Christmas decor or holiday decor, but general decor at home, and you've stopped looking at it because it's in the same place, so you don't even notice it anymore,
Oh
right?
yeah, all the time.
Oh,
My
yeah.
wife reminds me.
And we're the same. When we get out the holiday decor, we put it in the same place every year, right? Sometimes that's because it works really well there, and sometimes it's just out of habit. So actually just changing up where you put your decor in the house can have a huge impact on how you see it and how you enjoy it. Or go out and forage, get some foliage. I mean, it's free, right? As long as you forage responsibly, it's free. And it's like nature's gift to us at Christmas time, and it's beautiful. So just go out, grab some bare branches and hang ornaments from them in the middle of the table, and go and get some lush green fir and put it as a garland, or wrap it, put a selection at the bottom of the stairs, just hang it off the bottom stair. There's so many things that you can do which are really, really affordable. Or use the wrapping paper as decor, because you can get craft paper and then use cookie cutter stamps, just put them a little bit of paint on them and then drop them all over the paper. It looks gorgeous and it's so easy. And then you can use that wrapping paper to wrap gifts to put under the tree. They can go on the table. You can use them all over the place. Just wrap up some cardboard boxes if you want as well. There's so many easy ways that you can play around with the decor, which are very affordable. And also, you don't feel guilty then if you change them up year after year.
I just got to say that last minute and a half was awesome. You just answered like five people's questions, because they're not creative. They work really hard all year. When they come home, they're tired and stuff like that, and they just look at it and go, "Oh, hum." And then you just said like nine things was like, "Oh my God, I can do this, this, and this, and this. This is wonderful." Hey, folks, you want to stick with us? We're going to be right back with more Hannah Bartlett. She's the Christmas Insider. Oh boy, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Hannah.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for sharing with your friends, family, and associates. All the replays are available right now on savingwithsteve.us. If you're listening to the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show, and check us out at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to uplift your spirit, live a life of personal financial freedom. You can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton, the Insiders Club. I want to get back to Hannah here. We're talking about Christmas. And you know what? There's three D's about Christmas that make it yours. And I'm going to let Hannah just run with that right now, because I think you're all going to love it. And I'm going to bet it's like answer about 150 questions y'all emailed in.
Okay, this is my go-to for how to think about Christmas, Steve. Okay, because we get in the sticks about it, right? We all get too caught up in the details. So, number one, decide what matters. So, as I said before, what makes Christmas Christmas for you? So, just really, really challenge yourself on this and do it with the family. Sit down and chat. What are the two or three things that you need to make Christmas yours? and the things that are going to really deliver joy for you. Okay, so the traditions, the moments, the details that make Christmas for you. So for me, they'd probably be the decorating of the tree. We always go and get a good tree, and we love as a family decorating it. We also have really sort of family traditions around Christmas Eve that are tried and tested, and every year we do the same thing, so that cannot go. And then dinner on Christmas Day is a big part of the festivities. Now the kids might say the presents, but for me it's going to be that Christmas Day dinner. So those would be my kind of my key things. So decide what matters. That's where you prioritize, that's what you focus your energy on. Number two, delegate. So a lot of the stress around Christmas comes either from the finances of it or from the literal stress of managing the time. And so delegating that, the roles and the different things, different parts of the festivities out to other people. I get the FOMO of not wanting to relinquish anything and wanting to have that control and make Christmas yours. And I get wanting to make it magical for other people, but I definitely am guilty of trying to take on too much and ending up exhausted on Christmas and not actually being able to enjoy the holidays. So delegate what you can. And most people actually want a job. They just want to be told to do something and then be proud that they contributed that to the celebrations. That's number two. Number three, don't do it. Okay. So the things that are not important to you are not going to bring joy, are going to cause stress. This is your permission slip to leave them to the side. Either defer them, there's a bonus D for you there, until next year, or just say no. I mean, the power of saying no is incredible, right? In virtually every part of life, and especially when it comes to Christmas. Okay, have those conversations if you need to, explain your rationale, but say no. Don't do the things that are going to cause you stress. So there's your three D's for making Christmas perfectly yours.
I think that's so very, very important, that last one. Well, the delegating one. There's always somebody who takes it on as a martyr. I've seen that, and that's the no, people in our family do the same thing. They take it on as a martyr, and then it's really interesting when all of a sudden everybody's contributing. They're vested. They're far more vested than they were before, which makes it more fun. And you know what? That's a biggie. And then the other one is learning your no's. Because I've seen this with, and I've heard from it with from other people about all the stuff they've got to get done. And half of the stuff you're like, well, why does that need to be done now? You know what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That I think, I mean, we've discussed a little bit off air, but I'm really passionate about the whole kind of concept of festive ROI, right? So we've talked, it's not financial ROI. We can leave that one aside. This is the holidays. So it's quite a different approach. But your time, your money, your energy, when it comes to the holidays, you want to maximize your joy, your connection, and your moments to create magic and memory. That's what the focus is. And if you can maximize the impact of time, money, energy on those three things and minimize, obviously, how much of any of those three you're doing, then you're on to a winner. So, yeah, say no if it's not going to bring you joy, if it's not going to bring you connection, if it's not going to bring you magical memories.
I have an email from somebody. They just said, I've got to do this. I won't go through all the things, but she says, I got to do this, this, and this, and then I have to do all this stuff for Christmas. And you just answer that question like, okay, what is really important? What do you really need to get done? What can be pushed off to a later date so you don't have the stress? So that's I think that's really, really, really very cool. So the next thing I think is really big that everybody wants to talk about is spending. Gift expectations. And I get the feeling a lot of people put those expectations on themselves for the gifts they're getting other people. And that FOMO has something to do with it, keeping up with the neighbors, trying to do the right thing, you know what, that type of stuff. And what's really interesting before I get into that is one of the things that we did, I think it was 2 years ago, and my mom's like 89 years old. So she is known for her cooking. Her mom used to be a chef and all that kind of stuff. So what we did is we, for Christmas, we put together a cookbook of mom's recipes with family pictures and stories and stuff like that, and gave it as a gift. Nobody remembers any of the gifts they received. They only remember that. So, you know what? It was really interesting. And quite frankly, it cost us $25 a person. But it was, and we still got other gifts and everything for people, but it was probably the least expensive gift. And we know it's going to stay in somebody's kitchen for decades and decades to come. In fact, other relatives have said, when my kids are old enough, can I get another copy?
That's so lovely. I listened to a previous podcast, Steve, where you were sharing that story, and I absolutely resonated with me. And in fact, we did something really similar. Do you know what? I'm going to admit that probably old enough to remember a couple of decades ago, and we still all have those cookbooks in our kitchen, and we still talk about them and the recipes. So, yeah, gifts from the heart. I mean, that's what it's about, right? Again, it's that thing of it's so easy with Christmas, with the adverts, with the social media, with the discussions in the workplace. It's so easy for us to lose sight of what is actually important. And now, for some people, gift giving is their love language, right? And it's the thing that they're passionate about. And if you're in a position to be able to do that and you want to spend the money, fantastic. Enjoy in good health. But there should never, ever be an expectation that it's reciprocal, because everyone is in a completely unique situation and position, and it needs to be, those expectations need to be aligned. So I'm going to come back to what I said before. It's about having those potentially difficult conversations, but have them now when it's not right up against the holidays, when people probably haven't bought the gifts yet. Have those discussions and set that expectation. And then if people still want to give, then great, and that's fantastic. But don't feel that there's an expectation to reciprocate.
So would you know help us let's talk through what that looks like. Everybody, doesn't matter what family, what economic level, they all struggle with that. Because I've listened to people drop, a few hundred dollars on a credit card for a purse for one of their kids because their kids wanted it, even though they have a really tight budget and it's way over the budget, stuff like that. So let's talk about how that would look, because that's one of the big questions our listeners were saying. Hey, how do you know what you talked about setting expectations? Well, what kind of discussion would you have with family members about those type of expectations?
Okay, yeah, no, fair enough. Good question. So, okay, I'd say there's three parts to it. There's setting the budget, and no one wants a January of debt. So, where you can avoid going into debt to buy gifts, then really and truly, you should aim to
You're
do that.
talking about a debt hangover in January is what you're talking
Yeah,
about.
absolutely. No one wants that. I mean, ouch. No one wants to start their new year with that. So set that budget, and if you need to flex it up for some people, then you flex it down for others. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Now, manage those expectations, have those difficult discussions, and again, I'll expand on that in a moment. And then the third part of it is be creative. So, okay, those discussions. Yeah, it is that sitting down with the family and saying, look, guys, it's been a tough year. We know we need to get we know we need to get gifts for the kids. We know we need to do this, that, and the other. But how about between ourselves, we do a secret Santa? Or how about between ourselves, we go out for a meal over the holidays and we don't worry about gifts for ourselves? Or how about we set a $25 limit and we make something? And encourage everyone to get creative and actually put the bake the love in. There is, I was definitely fearful of there not being a homemade gift that I could make that would be worthy of the people I love, because my skills in that area are not that strong. But actually, one of the things I've discovered with this journey with Jolly Festive is, you know what? There's something that everyone can make that is worthy of giving, and people should be grateful for the time that you've spent on it. So, I think. You're right. A lot of it is self-inflicted. We put all these pressures on ourselves, and quite often they actually don't exist. And people are super grateful for someone spending some time and care on them. So, okay, let's think about the kids. The kids are the ones you can't avoid, right? So, a few tricks for those ones. So, have you heard of the gift rule of four? Okay, so four gifts: something they want, something they need, something to wear, something to read. Okay, use that as a steer. I think it's a great steer for four gifts, and four gifts is plenty for anyone to be receiving. And again, if you take the time to think about each of those and put together a thoughtful collection of gifts, I mean, how amazing would that be? Stocking.
That
Oh, I should state before I continue, I'm going to say little ears, do not listen for this bit. So if anyone's got a little one around, then maybe pause for a moment and come back to us later. Okay, moving on from that. So stocking stuffers. When you think about all the books that you read and the cartoons that you watch, the gifts in the stockings are never wrapped. So first of all, save money on wrapping paper. But secondly, when you take that a step further, that means that you could take any new gifts out of boxes, set them up for the batteries and so on, so they could be played with immediately. Take that a step further. That means you can put thrifted gifts, secondhand, pre-loved gifts in that stocking without the child being able to distinguish between what's new and what's being pre-loved. And then you open up a whole new world of opportunity in terms of being able to be very generous without going into a lot of debt. So I highly recommend using the tricks that we've been taught by Dickens and various others, and Dr. Seuss. And then also talk to the kids, be honest with them, particularly for older children. I think that expectation that I ask and it arrives, that's not a great life lesson. So sitting down and just being open and honest around the dinner table about, you know what, guys, this is the budget we have this year. You want that purse? Okay, we can give you a contribution towards it, or we can go and see if we can find one on Facebook Marketplace that's been pre-loved but in good condition on Vinted. And would you be okay with that? Or we defer it and we do it for your birthday. You know, there's just so many different ways. It doesn't have to be a flat no. There's so many different ways that we can open that discussion and provide an answer that will be hopefully acceptable.
That's wonderful. Hey, folks, you're going to stick with us? We're right back with more Hannah Bartlett. We're talking Christmas here.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. We're talking to Hannah Bartlett. We were talking about gift giving in the reality. Okay. And it was really interesting because I'm getting all these flashbacks from what Hannah's talking about. And what I would talk about is way back when I first became a manager at this wine company. You know, we had just moved, we had a whole bunch of stuff going on. We just had a kid, all that stuff. Didn't have a lot of money for employees' gifts. And what we did is we created gift baskets. My wife bought these little baskets, the little wicker baskets. She bought the cellophane that went around it. She stuffed it with stuff and then put in a lot of candies and gifts and stuff like that, the Brock's mints and everything. But she put this big red bow at the top, okay? And I went and gave it to everybody and all that kind of stuff. And the oddest thing happened. All the men who gave it to their wife said, "Oh my God, this is awesome. You must have a great boss." And I'm like, bonus. But the other thing that was really interesting is many people thought that she did such a wonderful job with the bow and the way it was wrapped that they never unwrapped it. In fact, some of them had it for 2 or 3 years. They just dusted it off and used it as part of their Christmas decorations. So it's very, very interesting. The other thing is when I go back to my childhood, I was one of five kids. And you know what? Five kids, all that school and everything's tight. So my mom made a big deal about going to garage sales. So when you talked about books, my mom bought books at garage sales. That's how we got our first encyclopedia. There's a lot of things that we got in our stockings from garage sales, besides a little bit of candy. It's just really very interesting that you can do that. And you can go, like you said, Facebook Marketplace and many other places. You can find a lot of stuff that's been used once or twice, and you're getting it for a song. Very inexpensively. So I just thought that was really very, very, very cool for you to say that, because it's just wow. When you get a little bit older, you're like, oh my God, I remember that. But the odd thing is, you don't remember to do it now.
Well, that's it. It's just, I think, having that prompt, isn't it, Steve, to remind you to bring it back to the fore. And actually, you saying that about gifts for the team at work, I love the idea of swap parties because buying gifts for colleagues can be really tricky, right? You can do a white elephant, you can do various different options. But these swap parties, I think, are brilliant with the concept that you come up with a theme, so ornaments or books or tabletop games, and everyone brings one in that they no longer want or that they're particularly passionate about, and you swap them. So actually, no one spent any money. Everything is very personal and thoughtful. And what a great way to get to know your colleagues better as well. And I thought that's a brilliant idea as an alternative for purchasing gifts. And we all want to be that little bit more of a conscious consumer in the world that we live in now, partly because of financial limitations. We're all feeling the pinch, but also because of the environmental impact of stuff. So I think everyone's quite eager to reduce that if they can. And this is a great way of giving pre-loved items a fresh lease of life.
Yeah, I was just going to say, think about what's in your closet. If you got it at Christmas and haven't worn it in 15 or 16 years, maybe somebody else might like it. I'm just kidding.
And then sell it, and then you've got the money to buy the new gift for Christmas. So, this is a great time of year to be clearing
Oh
the
yeah, you never know. The funny part is somebody might buy it and give it back to you. But hey,
closets.
so let's one of the biggest things during the holiday season is travel. Okay, do you have any practical advice for traveling over the holidays? Because it's always, I'm going to say, it's always a cattle prod. You know what? It's just tough with vacation schedules and all that kind of stuff. So what would be a good way to manage that?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I guess one of the winding path avenues that I took to get to where I am now is I worked in the hospitality and travel industry for a while, and I've traveled very widely myself with my kids from tots right the way to teens across all seven continents actually in the holiday period. So I'm very well versed in the very unique challenges of traveling at this time of year because it is different from the rest of the year, there's no doubt. I guess the first thing is to really challenge your why. Are you traveling because you're going to visit family and you just have to get there? Or are you traveling because you want an experience of the holidays in a different part of the world, or you want to get away, or you want to just be able to pause and literally get away from everything rather than get away to have an adventure? So I think it's really understanding what are you trying to achieve, because some parts of the world it's a great time of year to travel because they may or may not have Christmas celebrations themselves, and so the costs can actually vary quite considerably. And I guess the earlier you can plan, the better. So it's not crazy for me to be saying that Christmas 2026, holidays 2026, probably now is as good a time as any to start thinking about them, which I appreciate could terrify a few people when we haven't even got through this set of holidays. But the deals are out there already. Again, this time of year tends to get set pretty early. And then be creative in terms of when you're willing to travel. So I actually did a quick check earlier today. So I looked at London, New York, return flights for two people. If you go for the Christmas week to New York from the UK, you're looking at the moment at a minimum around $2,300. But if you're willing to fly out on Christmas Day and go for the week after, which still includes New Year's, so you still have a nice breakaway, it goes down to $1,900. So there's a $400 saving immediately, not to mention there's probably a reduction in the cost of the hotels as well. And I think when you think about things like city breaks, for example, actually cities really do shut down for Christmas Day. So if you're going to visit family, different thing. But if you're going to explore an area, then really do investigate what the traditions in that place are around the Christmas season, because A, there's often a package at the hotel if you're staying at a hotel, and B, there's often a restriction in terms of what you can do when stuff gets booked up and stuff is extra charges and there's special things,
Oh,
which can
yes.
be great, but you want to really know that you want to do those before you commit to the expense of traveling then. So yeah, so I think thinking about a little creatively about things, and then there is also then, as I say, some very unique challenges to traveling at this time of year. So things that you might want to consider in terms of what family traditions you want to take on the road with you. So again, little ears go turn away for a second. But for example, with my boys when they were younger, we had to take our elf on the shelf with us
Oh yeah,
absolutely
Elfie.
everywhere. Right. We wrote, "Please do not touch the elf," in I do not know how many different
The
languages to show
little
it
elf that
has
goes up on the
teeth.
shelf, yeah. And he flies around every day.
Exactly. And he flies to wherever you are on vacation, right? So we had some fun and games with our elf visitor coming with us over our trips. But it is thinking about how can we incorporate those traditions wherever we are. So oftentimes we want to go somewhere and we want to stay in a hotel because we want to be relaxed and be looked after, and that may still be the same over the holiday vacations. But actually, you might prefer to be in a rental home where you can put up a certain amount of decorations. You can cook that meal that's still, the traditional Christmas meal, whatever that may be for you, or you can enjoy doing whatever traditions it is that you have on Christmas Day, with a little bit more space to bring everyone together rather than being in the foyer of the hotel, for example. So it's really thinking about what is important to you, what is it you want to get out of it. The other biggest tip I have is do not wrap the gifts before you go. They always look terrible when you take them out of the
Oh
case
yeah.
if you've wrapped them in advance. Take them unwrapped, or even better, have them delivered to where you're staying so you don't have to worry about carrying them at all, and just bring some gift wrap out with you and do
Yeah,
it
it looks like a scrunched up piece of paper after a while. Been there, done
all
that.
there.
So I have to ask, one of our listeners was wondering, what are other places in the country, in the world? You know what? They celebrate Christmas differently. They don't celebrate. What's it like going to another continent? Like, for example, you know, you have Australia, you have other places. What's it like going there for Christmas? Because I know, like, if you're in the States, you know, it's our winter months, but if you're in Australia, it's the summer months. So it's a little different from that standpoint. But what other continents where you go there and they might not have a Christmas? So what do people do? Or is it just another regular day?
Well, absolutely. If you're in, say, Japan, for example, it is a regular day, although I believe there is a tradition in Japan. I haven't been there at Christmas itself. I was there just after. But there's a tradition to get KFC for Christmas lunch on Christmas Day, and then finish it off with strawberry shortcake. So
Oh, Kentucky Fried
that
Chicken and strawberry shortcake. Okay.
nutritious, right? But what fun. So I think that is a Japanese tradition, but Christmas isn't traditionally celebrated there. And yeah, absolutely, it varies hugely around the world. And I have spent Christmas down under in Australia a couple of times, because I've got family down there. And I tell you what, as a Northern Hemisphere girl, that messes with my head. Something chronic. There is something about it being warm and sunny and long light there, hours during Christmas Day, that I cannot compute. So I've had some fantastic barbecues and trips to the beach on Christmas Day, but in my head, it's just not quite Christmas when the palm trees are covered in lights rather than the fir trees.
Yeah, you know what? I was funny because my first experience with Australia was I flew in there on Christmas Day or the day after. It was like was it? It was 32 centigrade, so it was like 105 degrees or something like that. I'm like, what? I was just like, what? And then everybody was out and about in shorts and t-shirts, and you know, even though I'm in California, it's, you know, 40 degrees and 45 where I live. So it's like I'm still used to that cold Christmas day. In fact, I love a cold Christmas day. So it's just, you know, that a warm, you know, a warm room, that type of thing is really cool. It's just like so nostalgic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, that's one of the our origin stories of Christmas in July is Australian reclaim of a cold Christmas, or the opportunity for a cold Christmas during their winter. So everyone, if you think about it, all the storybooks portray a winter Christmas. So I can imagine it must be quite surreal if you've grown up with a summer Christmas to then not actually have experienced it in the cold. I love going north. For me, going north at Christmas time is my absolute favorite. And then you have all the access to the winter sports. I don't ski, but I've snowmobiled and sledded and tobogganed, and oh my goodness, there is genuinely something magical about having the northern lights in the sky, and that crisp snow underfoot at Christmas time.
So I have a question. What's your favorite place for Christmas?
With the
Besides
family,
home. Be
with the
besides home,
family.
besides your family, but
Yeah.
besides home, what's the best, most favorite location for Christmas?
Okay, so yes, it is true. Home is still my favorite. I love going either side of Christmas. But if you're going to put me on the spot of having to decide, I had the privilege of having a trip to the ice hotel in northern Sweden, in Lapland, in northern Sweden,
Oh, cool.
being under ice and, as I say, watching the northern lights play in the sky, whilst we admired the Christmas trees and ate. Well, reindeer, actually. Sorry, Rudolph. But that was pretty magical and is really hard to beat. Even though I have actually done the other extreme and had time down around the winter season in Antarctica, where we spent actually New Year's by penguins in complete daylight. So I've
Oh,
done the two
wow.
extremes of the world, but for me, those lazy long sunrises that would completely evolve immediately into these beautiful slow sunsets
Oh, that's
in
wonderful.
Lapland.
Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're talking to Hannah Bartlett. We're talking about Christmas. We're going to get into things you can do handmade and many other things in this last segment. You really want to stick with us. This has been like a whole episode of Ahas for Christmas. So, Hannah, again, thanks for being here today. This has been wonderful. So, let's talk about the handmade side of things. What would be the best way to approach that? How to look at that if you're looking to make something handmade, maybe for those people who aren't that creative. And you know who you are.
Well, I hold myself in that crowd. As I say, I'm an accountant. I'm a geek. I'm a math nerd. So, for me, the creativity does not come naturally, but there's always something you can do. And I think, when it comes to gifting, as we said before, Steve, it's about baking that love in, right? So literally, if you want to do food gifts, and I think hampers are so much fun. So it's so interesting, your story that you shared earlier about your wife and putting together the gift hampers, because oh, I'm a massive fan of a hamper. And the reason being that it's a beautiful way to merge new purchases, thrifted items, and handmade items, and you can put them all together to a theme, and gift them to someone, or gift them to a family, so that you're spending once for a family rather than individually for each member of the family, which obviously in itself can be a saving. And you can go as big or small as you want with a hamper. So the great thing for me is if you can, or in my opinion, is if you can think of a number of people who would enjoy and take pleasure from the same gift. So, for example, a foot scrub, right? Works perfectly for your best friend, for your grandparents, or for the grandparents, I should say, not our grandparents, but the grandparents, and also the teachers. So, anyone who spends their life on their feet has tired souls and a tired soul that needs taking care of. So, a foot scrub, it's really inexpensive, it's really straightforward. And it's the math, it takes just a few minutes to put together. Then put some beautiful little gift tags on and put that together in a hamper with maybe some bubble bath, some bath soap. You can make a candle. I love putting candles inside old teacups, they look beautiful. And it's really easy to make them again and just add the fragrance that you think would be good for your recipient. Recipient. And then you could put that together. You could even put a gift voucher in there, a gift card if you wanted to expand it out, or you could put a cozy blanket in. You could find a thrifted one. There's just so many different ways that you could bulk that out and make a gorgeous spa hamper. Or for a family, you can make a, like a movie night hamper, you know, put some homemade snacks in there, put a Christmas movie bingo game. There's one on the website you can download for free if you want. there's put in there some a Netflix gift card, for example, some cozy socks. And you can have so much fun pulling stuff together and maybe as a family work to make a gift for another family, which just again bakes that love in and makes it extra special. So I just think so many easy ways to be handmade without it having to be a massive stress or feel like you need to be Martha Stewart in terms of your level of creativity.
That's not going to happen on my end. But you know, I just want to share with this when Hannah says hamper, it's a gift basket like we talked about before with the wicker basket, the cellophane around it, and all that kind of stuff. Am I correct in that?
It is, but it can be a gift bag. It could be a
Okay.
large vase. It could be anything you want. You can use anything as your vessel. What does a hamper mean in the US then? Sorry.
A hamper is where you put clothes in. Dirty
I'm so
clothes.
sorry. I did
It's
not
called a
know.
dirty clothes hamper.
Oh, no. That is really good for me to know. I'm so sorry. My
But that's
apologies.
okay. You're the UK. This is the US. It's just different all over. It's funny because the places I've been around the world, and similar to you say certain things, and people are like, ah, you really shouldn't say
It
that.
could have been worse, I guess. It could have
So,
been worse.
like a peace
I
sign, like in
don't.
England, a peace sign a couple different ways could mean something derogatory or it could mean peace. I learned that very quickly when I first went over there. So it's just fun. Hey, it's all good. So let's talk about some that's a wonderful. So we're looking at a gift basket, a gift hamper, or a bag of sorts. I think that's very cool to like you talked about movies. Depending if you're in Australia, it could be a beach day thing with towels and fins and suntan lotion and stuff like that. So that'd be pretty cool. If somebody's just got to pick up a theme and pick some items that would work for a day at the movies, day at the beach, day at the spa, what have you.
Right. Absolutely. And in fact, you could even put in one of the things you could put in would be like some suggestions of ways to use it in a little jar as folded sheets and little slips of paper so that the family who receive it can then pick out and get some inspiration for ways to use the gift. And that makes it kind of a fun game as well. And into almost like a kind of family date night or a date night, depending on who you're giving it to, idea as well. So there's just it really is the sky's the limit on handmade stuff. And I think, as I say, we get so bogged down in, oh my gosh, it's not good enough that we forget that actually, no, it really can be. And the simplest things can be so effective. And people can be so touched by the thought that's been put into them. Just literally by personalizing with someone's name makes all the difference.
And you know what? People very much appreciate that, especially if it's part of their life. You know what? Sometimes things wear out and you happen to get them a new set of fins if it's at the beach. And they're like, oh my God, I needed these things. This is great. Or their towel that they use is kind of ratted out now. So, and belongs in that clothes hamper. But so, what else should we be thinking about here now? Getting ready to go into Christmas.
Oh gosh, good question. So I guess people are starting to book their activities, the things they want to do. So again, I'd come back to really think about just picking those two or three activities that are going to really make the holidays for you. A overstuffed diary is not actually going to cause more enjoyment. I think I heard a phrase, lowering the bar increases the joy. And I just thought, it's so true, actually. By trying to do everything, sometimes we don't do anything, either because we're too exhausted or we have sort of, you know, almost sensory overload. So pick the two or three things that this year, either of the traditions or the new things you want to try, get them in the diary and do that now because everything is booking up. And then the other stuff, just get creative with it. So, say you don't want to go and spend on going to a light trail, Christmas light trail, or a holiday light trail. Maybe you put some hot cocoa in a flask and go for a stroll in your local neighborhood and see the lights, the holiday lights that the neighbors have got put up. And between you as a family, you could decide which one's your favorite and write a note and pop it through the door with a candy cane to say, thank you so much for cheering up our festive, you know, walk or something like that. An opportunity to meet the neighbors again and just spread some Christmas cheer. And you know what? With the way that people go to town with their decor in their front yards, you'll probably get as good a show as you would at a Christmas light trail. So
Well, that's true. That's true. So,
and
Go ahead,
Sorry, I was
Heather.
going to say as well, shows as well. You know, you can go to the big show in the city, or you can go to your local amateur dramatic society. And okay, you won't get all the big brash bravado, but actually, sometimes those local performances are funnier and more intimate and are really enjoyable. And you feel good about celebrating and supporting your local community. So, again, it's that creativity, it's that thinking outside the box. Spend the money on the things that you know are going to give you joy, and then have fun coming up with other ways to do the rest.
That's wonderful. You know what? We got a few minutes left. I'd like you to tell everybody about the Jolly Festive and how people can connect with you and stuff like that. Because I know you're really wanted, whether to be local or national news now, because of all you've done with Christmas. So if you could share that with us, we'd love it.
Oh, fantastic, Steve. No, absolutely. Well, please come and join me on the countdown. And in fact, the entire year long, because I feel very privileged that I've managed to turn my lifelong passion into my year-round job. But if you are looking for inspiration for yourself, then come to jollyfestive.com, which is the website where there is a huge variety of ideas and inspiration across all of the aspects of Christmas, from Advent to activities to decor to gifts to food. We've got recipes, planning inspiration, documents. There's so much that you can download for free on the website. So come and have a mooch around. Join me on the newsletter if you want regular information from me directly into your inbox. And if you want to chat and hang out on social media, then the best place to find me is Instagram. It's at Jolly Festive. Or you can find me over on Pinterest with plenty more inspiration. And if you're looking from a business point of view, if you're a small business and creator who wants to tap into that all important Q4 market, then you can also find me at the Christmas Insider, where I cut through all the noise and make sense of all the noise around what's important to us at Christmas and the emerging trends and the evolving traditions, and turn them into useful, concrete information that you can apply in order to relatably, reliably, authentically reach out and talk to your community and share your products this season in a way that's going to land and make them irresistible.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you one more time to tell us how your Instagram and your YouTube channel, is that correct?
Sorry, so they're both. So I've got the Christmas Insider is a website and on Instagram as well. And that is the business arm. But for most people, it's going to be Jolly Festive, which is jollyfestive.com, or at Instagram at Jolly Festive.
That's wonderful. You know what, Hannah, this has been a lot of fun. A lot of flashbacks to my youth. And you've given some wonderful advice. And you know, it's so funny. We get a few thousand questions that come in. And I mean, you just like mark those boxes. So it was really, really, very cool that I know there's a lot of ahas for people that are watching and listening and will be watching and listening. So thank you so much for being here today on Saving with Steve.
Absolute pleasure. It's been such good fun, Steve. Thank you so much, and happy holidays.
You too. I want to thank you for joining us, for tuning in, and appreciate you letting us, your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio of New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Now, you can follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. I want to thank you again for joining us today. I'd like to just talk to you about something that right now we're looking at a couple key reasons why an exit strategy matters. The question I have to ask you is, what is your exit strategy with the markets the way they are right now? We have gold hit an all-time high. We've got Bitcoin at an all-time high. We got real estate at an all-time high. We got stocks that are trading at all-time highs for the price-earning ratio, their market cap versus GDP. We've still got a rising 10-year treasury. So what's the exit strategy? And let's look at a couple of reasons why an exit strategy matters. First of all, risk management. We know markets can move quickly against someone. An exit plan helps limit losses, protect capital before emotion take over. Think of it as an emotional bumper. Next, capital preservation. You can preserve the core investment the longer they can stay invested over the long run and avoid permanent drawdowns, in particular when principal will be needed to maintain lifestyle. Next, discipline over impulse. Predefined rules reduce temptation to hold on to losing positions, hoping for a rebound, or even chasing every risky stock or rising stock. Emotional control, a clear criteria, reduces anxiety and decision fatigue. Next, budgeting and liquidity. Knowing when you take profits or cut losses helps plan for other needs like emergency funds, upcoming expenses, rebalancing. Then there's performance consistency. Systematic exits can help improve risk-adjusted returns by locking in gains and avoiding large drawdowns. Next, tax efficiency. Strategic harvesting of losses or gains within tax rules can improve after-tax returns. And then we have portfolio rebalancing. Exit strategies will create opportunities to rebalance towards your targeted allocation and risk profile. Many people have a portfolio allocation that they've had for 20, 25 years, and it's not being adjusted to their current lifestyle. So making sure that target allocation and risk profile are in line with the way your investments are being managed is a big decision. You know, these are just some of the reasons why exit strategies matter. Not many advisors out there have taken the time to break the subject down for their clients, their prospects. You know what? It's very important that you show them how not to chase returns. Show them the intelligent path to capital preservation, emotional control, tax efficiency, and performance consistency to maintain their lifestyle. Because folks, most of the people who are listening to me now, their number one concern isn't running out of money. It's adjusting their lifestyle, reducing their lifestyle, not being able to transfer assets to heirs as you originally intended. I mean, you built it not to lose it. You built it to spend it. You built it to give it to somebody who makes a difference to you. So folks, it's important you start the discussion of an exit strategy, because it can help you in so many ways preserve your lifestyle and the lifestyle you're looking to transfer when you walk out in life. And for that, I want to thank you all for joining us here on Saving with Steve. Look forward to talking to you very, very soon. I wish you all have a wonderful day. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.